today I feel a little bit like Moses. A little unworthy of being in the presence of God. A little unworthy of doing the job that he has called to do. And I think that at a point in our life, we do feel unworthy sometimes. Especially when we see our life and maybe our life doesn't reflect exactly what God is expecting. So you feel a little unworthy. But then you read John 3:16, right? And John 3:16 said, "For God so loved Hidel Garcia that he gave his only son for him. And if he believes in him, he will not perish, but have eternal life." So it doesn't matter if I'm worthy or not, or it doesn't matter if I feel unworthy or not. The fact that I believe in my Lord Jesus Christ gives me eternal life. So there was a point in eternity where God paused and said, "I need to make a plan. I need to make a plan because there's going to be a world that I'm going to create not too far from today that needs to be recreated." For me, that's funny that God was planning a recreation before he created something. Why? Why he was thinking about recreating something when that world was not even created yet? Simple, because he knows everything from the beginning. If you open your Bibles in Revelation 22:13, there it says that he is the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the beginning and the last, the end and the first. So that means that it doesn't matter in what point of eternity you look around, he's always been there. So before the eternity of this world started, before the eternity of this earth started, he said, "I need to make a plan to recreate this world. Because this world is going to mess up." Was he right or not? He was right. Because like I said in so many times, we're just three chapters into Genesis, and whatever he did was awesome and good. Every single day he said, "This is good, this is good." By the third chapter, it was gone. So here he is making a plan. A plan that is going to fix a problem that is not yet seen. And he, being such a good administrator as he is, he said, "You know what? This plan has to have a vision. This plan has to have action, has to have a strategy, goals, in order for me to make a breakthrough in this dark world. I need to break through in a world of death. I need to push life. I need to break through the walls of sin that are coming upon this world. I need to break through in the heart of these people that are going to be living in this world, because sin is going to turn those hearts very, very hard. So I'm making a plan. And for this plan, whatever is happening, I'm going to have a very simple vision." And if you read the second part of John 3:16, the plan, the vision was very simple. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? Have eternal life. Very simple vision. He was looking far into how this world was going to be messed up. But he was looking farther And how this world is, if every single one of you humans, us humans, will believe, what was the result? What was the end result of believing? Not perish, but eternal life. Very simple vision. Somebody is lost, and my vision is that I'm going to save them. Every single one that comes into this earth and into this earth and is born in sin, if the only thing that they need to do is turn around and look at me, turn around and see life, turn around and see life, then they will be saved, not for a little while, but they're going to be saved forever. But in order for that vision to come into a reality, somebody needed to pay the price for that. So in Revelation 1:6 says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests and to serve his God and Father, to him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. The vision of salvation, the breakthrough, was going to be very, very expensive. What would you say? You want a car. You want a brand new car. And you go onto the internet, you start clicking, and you start price, and you start checking the prices of the car. As you click, you see the price. You have a vision of the price. If the vision of the price is $150,000, what do you do with that vision? You just click. Right? You just click back or forward. Why? Because $150,000 for a car is what? Is a bit too much. So the vision what? The vision gets blur. Right? So you just click on another. And so you put Hyundai.com and maybe you can afford that one. Right? That does what it is. So can you imagine God is making this awesome plan to recreate something that has not been created yet, because since he's the Alpha and the Omega, he knew everything from the beginning, and he knew that this earth, including you and I, we're going to be lost. And he clicks on the price. And what does he see? $150,000? No, he says death is the payment for this plan. What about if suddenly God's vision started getting blurred? And he said, oh my goodness, this is too much. Now let me click somewhere else. You know, click, and this world would have disappeared. But he said, you know what? It doesn't matter if this plan is this vision of mine with all the goals and with all the strategy and all the actions that I need to make is too expensive. You know what? I need to do it somehow. So he sits down and he starts thinking, how am I going to do? How is this going to happen? How am I going to be able to save these people? Because it's pretty expensive. Maybe I can use power. Do you think that God could save this world with power? Yeah, he could have fixed this problem. He would just snap his finger, release power, destroyed everything, and that was it. Fixed. Or what about if God will destroy everything and start from scratch? Would it have been that easy for God? Less expensive. What is easier or faster or cheaper? Retrofit a building or destroy and build a new one? Destroy and build a new one. I think that would have happened easy with this world. Snap his finger, everything destroyed, just build a new one. Less painful. But when he's thinking about all this, he says, I can't do that. I cannot destroy and then or destroy Satan and just brainwash everything, everybody, so they will not remember a thing and make them a little robots with little chips no, that doesn't work for him. Or what about if... Then he's thinking, you know, he's crashing his head and he realizes that there is no way to do this but the expensive way. And he remembers the golden rule. Who knows the golden rule by memory? Anybody? Do unto others what? If I want to have peace and happiness for myself, then I have to do the same for somebody else. And God is asking, what about if I was in this condition? Lost, sinful, pain, suffering, tears, nonstop. What I would want somebody to do for me? And the answer was simple for God. He looked down and said, the only thing that this problem would solve is unconditional. Very unconditional love. And then he came up with John 3:16. And he said, I so love this world that I will give my one and only son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have what? Have eternal lives. So, this is what I'm going to do in order to be able to break through in the heart of each human being. I am going to love them to death. And that's exactly what he did. He did three things. And if you open your Bibles right there in John 3:16, you're going to see three things in God's strategy, planning, and vision, and goals that he needed to do for this world. The first thing was love. This is God's nature. And he will not do a thing that is not just surrounded by love. Every single thing that God does is based on love. He is love. He is love. And you're going to realize that if things are not done with love, they don't really count for anything. 1 Corinthians 13, remember? If you do all this and that and here and there and you go to the moon and back and you don't have love, how much does it count for? Zero. It doesn't count for a thing. So he knows that every single human being that is going to be hardened by sin, the only way to break through to that heart is through love. So everything, his vision, his plan of salvation, his strategy, his goal, his actions, his everything is completely soaked in love. You know that God really agrees with the Beatles? All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. And he knew that. And humans love to love and love to be loved. And it doesn't matter how hard a heart is, you just give him a little love, and that heart starts breaking. This is just this really bad man, you know, hard. And then this little girl comes, puts her hand in his hand and smile. And what happens with that old man? It just starts breaking. Because love is very powerful. And God says, the only way that I'm going to be able to break through the heart of these humans is through love. Cannot do it other way. So, you know that talk is what? Talk is cheap. And the only way that God can show this world that what he is saying is true is by making an action. And the next thing that you find in John 3:16 is what? After love. God is going to love. And after he says that he's going to love, what is the action? He gave. Do you know that if you pretend to have love in your heart and you're not a giving person, you are a liar? Because love and giving, they go together. And such thing as selfish love, that's an oxymoron. They don't go together. You cannot say selfish love. You can call it something else, but not love. And the only thing that love does is give and give and give and give. If God would have said, yes, I love you, but he doesn't show it, what would you say to somebody like that? You are a liar. If you say that you love me and you don't show me that you love me, you lie to me. And God said, the instant that I'm going to tell you that I'm going to love you, I'm going to make an action towards that. And that is, I'm going to give. What did he give? You know, he gave his position. He gave his position. He gave his love. He gave the power, independence, some part of his nature. But when he came down to everything, he just gave everything that he loved most. He gave Jesus Christ. He just didn't give something. He gave the most precious thing that he could have. And somebody can come and say, oh yeah, you can give your son. What about if you give your life? Oh, you're mistaken. Because the moment that God gave you his son, he's giving you his life. Nothing is more precious than God than what he gave in Jesus Christ. So what are you going to do? In order for you to be saved, you need to have him. And he gave kingdom, power, nature, independence, everything he had for you. He was ready to give his own life so you don't have to get what you deserve. What did you deserve? You deserve death. But he gave his life. And when you didn't receive what you deserve, which is death, I call that mercy. And he was so ready to give his life in order for you to get what you don't deserve, which is life. That is called grace. Mercy and grace have one name. And that name is Jesus Christ. In Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else than where? For there is no other name under heaven given to men which we must be saved. There's nothing that you can do. Mercy and grace is given freely to you in the name of Jesus Christ. What happens if you don't accept Jesus Christ? What happens? You are already condemned. And he cannot do a thing about that. So, my goal in order to break through into the hearts of the people is to give love. To give and to give everything that I have. My son, Jesus, in him I give in you everything that I am and everything that I own. There is nothing else left. Can you imagine if Jesus would have failed on the cross? The whole universe would have come apart. The entire, not only this world, the entire universe would have come apart. I love movies. But I hate the kind of movies where the hero dies. Have you seen those movies? The movie can go well, good. And the hero dies at the end? That sucks. I don't like it. The movie can win an Oscar for what I care. But if the hero dies at the end, not a good movie. You know what I mean? I mean, and yeah, you want the hero to win all the time. Don't you? At least I do. You know, 310 to Yuma was a horrible movie. I'm sorry for those who haven't seen it. I already told you the end. But that's an ugly movie. Why? One simple reason. Because the hero dies at the end. And I cannot stand a hero dying. And now I see this plan of salvation. And I see this awesome plan that he has for you and for me in order for you and me to be saved. And I'm watching my favorite hero. Yeah, not Peter Petrelli or Superman. My favorite hero, Jesus Christ, in the cross, dying, bleeding to death. I don't like that movie. But in order to make a breakthrough in your heart, in my heart, and in the heart of this city, on your family, and this entire world, he needed to be bleeding on the cross. That's the only way that he would be able to break through. Because not only he gave his son, he gave everything that he possessed in order for you to be saved by his blood. What a plan. What a vision. What an action that he's taking in order to save you and me. What a breakthrough. He breaks through the walls of sin. He breaks through the walls of Satan. He breaks through the dominion of the enemy in this world. And then, on an awesome Sunday morning, what happened? The ultimate breakthrough came. The breakthrough that opened that cave and destroyed death forever.
Amen.
What a breakthrough.
Amen.
And you know, we've been talking about breakthrough since the beginning of this year. And I know that a lot of you are just holding for dear life, hoping that this year is going to be a breakthrough. That somehow God is going to come and crush everything that is holding you back. He's going to crush the things that are just around you and that are holding you down. He's going to crush the box that you're in. And I've been praying for those things in my own life. And one of the things, I told you that I felt unworthy this morning because there are things that I haven't been able to break through in the name of Jesus Christ. And they hold me back. And when I remember that little phrase that it says, that the church will not go higher than the priest, then I say, my goodness. In the name of Jesus Christ, this pastor needs to break through. And in the name of Jesus Christ, that sacrifice that Jesus Christ did in the cross and they break through on a Sunday morning has to happen in my life. In order for this church to break through, that needs to happen in your own life. Breakthroughs, breaking your mind, breaking your heart, breaking your bad habits, breaking even your good habits. In order to give space to the only one that is going to save you, Jesus Christ. And if that doesn't happen in your life, if you do not allow Jesus Christ to break through, then we're stuck. Then this movie, in each one of your movies, the hero dies. So, this afternoon, we're going to present this church with a plan that has a vision, that has a strategy and goals. But like I told you the first Sabbath that I was here, if the Holy Spirit is not behind that plan, we have worked January and February in vain. Because it's not going to happen. And if we want to break through in our church, get out of these walls, into the world, into our world, our neighborhood, Glendale or some other vicinities, the first thing that needs to break through is you. And the only one that can do it is Jesus. Do you have walls in your life that are holding you down, holding you in, caving you in, doesn't allow you to move? Well, let me tell you one thing. You have the power in the name of Jesus Christ to break those things. You do not have to be down there. You do not have to be in cage in a box. It doesn't matter how hard or how strong it is, you can break through. And the only way to do it is when you believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to break through? Because let me tell you one thing. I am desperate to break through. I've been desperate for the past 5 years. And when I got to this church, I said, this is it. Breakthroughs in my life need to happen and need to happen quick. I can't do it. I can do it myself. I can't. But then I remember John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he broke through. Amen. So, am I going to stay this way? You bet I won't. Maria Santana said something awesome this morning. She said that she's glad for Lighthouse because this is like her family. And that she's glad she's here. And I'm glad I'm here. Because in the short time that I've been here, this church has become my family. So what are you going to do? The worst thing that you can do is betray your own family, right? So, and I'm not going to say that if you sit down and do nothing, you're betraying your family. I'm not saying that. Maybe God is going to break through later with you. But God wants you to break through. God wants you to stand for what you know is right and make it happen in the name of Jesus Christ. And every single time that I receive an email from Shar, I read on the bottom, and the bottom says, every single time that you don't know what to do, do what's right. Well, okay, yeah, that's true. And you know what? You know what is right. You can give me all the blah, blah, blah that you don't know what is right, but when it comes down to it, you do. You know what is right. And if you know what is right, then the only one that can make that right happening into your life is Jesus. So what are you going to do? Are you going to break through with me? Or are you going to break me through? Both. You know, I personally don't like to push people. I don't. But the other day I was talking to Charlie and the image was that I don't know what I said, and I said I'm just gonna push very hard, and even if I have to push people through the glass. And then I realized that breakthrough is very painful. Have you ever put your hand through a glass, through a window? You know, when you're mad, what happens to your hand? Knuckles, it hurts, right? Breakthrough is painful. But sometimes it's necessary. In order for that little seed to come as a plant, what needs to happen? It needs to break through the what? The shell. Not only the shell, it needs to break through the ground. And that little plant like that breaking into the ground? What happened if mom never breaks through when she's at birth? What happens? Baby never born. And baby can die inside. And moms, is that breakthrough painful? Yeah, right? It's very painful. But what happens after the breakthrough? After the breakthrough is joy and life. Life. I don't know. I've never gone through something like that. But I've seen the moms. I've seen the moms just cursing before giving birth. And then they're happy and joyful when the baby's born. Why? Because there is awesome, awesome joy in the breakthrough. So I don't know. I know that there's things in your life that you need to break through. And maybe those things are going to be painful to let go. But then you need to break through. And here I am. And in all honesty, I am here just waiting for your hand to be on my back, pushing me through the glass so I can break through. But let me tell you, if you push me through the glass so I can break through, I'm going to apply the golden rule to you. I am going to do exactly the same for you. But I know that even though it might be painful, what's going to happen? Breakthrough is going to bring life. And it's going to bring joy. And when there is life, there is multiplication. And when this church breaks through, there's going to be life. Amen. Even though it's going to hurt a little bit. But what's going to happen after life? There's going to be multiplication. Who's with me? Who wants to go through the glass? Anybody?
Amen. Praise God.
You want to go on your own or you want me to push you? Either way. But above everything, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will be the one that put his hands on your back and push you through. He's the only one that can hold you very strongly in order for you to come through the pain into the joy that after the breakthrough comes. So in the name of Jesus, let's break through. In the name of Jesus, let's ask God to open our minds and our hearts, break everything that needs to be broken in order for life and joy to come through.